Okay, again, if you have this opportunity, get up to coasttocoastdam.com. Take a look at the graphics that Lex has posted, supplied by Major Ed Dames. We're going to be going over those points in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Major Ed Dames tonight. Ed, these two graphics here that you supplied for us, one a map, the other looks like a cathedral of some sort. So let's
that's
go through
the cathedral,
that.
That what appears to be a cathedral is what I was talking about. That's the location of the biblical Ark of the
that
Covenant.
That one. Okay.
Yeah, it's down below that.
Okay. Uh-huh. Let's go to the map and let's explain it.
Are you sure you want to go to the map, George?
Should I?
I don't know. I did this work myself. You'll see that red star on that MapQuest map.
In Kenya.
That's right. It's in the Kisumu district in West Kenya.
Okay.
That's the birthplace of the 44th president of the United States. And I take full responsibility for that because I did the work myself.
Tell me about this, Ed. This is the first time you've ever gone on a limb on this one.
Yeah, it's out on a limb. But you were I did it because I had been working on it, and I wanted to know for myself. And it was what you said last night on your show about wanting to know the truth, and you're tired of being told lies. I thought, I'm going to go ahead and put this out on the streets. So right now it's just my word against anybody else's. But this year, 2010, I'd like for you to watch what happens on the streets, because this is the year where remote viewing really comes of age. The promise of remote viewing will be met this year, because, you know, we will say we're going to do particular things and then go out and do it to get ground truth. For instance, on these two examples right here, the monastery and the so-called birthplace, there's no way to validate that, right?
This is my
word against somebody else's.
Well, I'm going to ask you, what did you see in Kenya to have you say this is the spot?
I used a very sophisticated new location method that we've been using to track nuclear weapons and terrorists and those kinds of things. It's been around for about 6 months in a refined form. So I used strictly that. Any of my remote viewing team members would have used traditional orthodox methods and looked at Barack Hussein Obama's birthplace. Now, we have to use the word president because his father had the same name, of course. So we would use President Barack Obama's birthplace, and then they would describe either someplace, a hospital in Hawaii or a hospital somewhere else. We don't know. We don't go in armed with any preconceived notions. In fact, he may not even know where he was born. So, but we know because the universal mind knows nothing. There's no secrets. There's no conspiracy theories because this is direct knowledge. There's no analysis, so you don't need a theory.
Is anybody going to use this information? Investigate it?
No. It's just to show you examples of what remote viewing can do in terms of a world without secrets. There's no secrets in a world for a remote viewer. There are no secrets, or there are mysteries, but they can be investigated. So these are just examples, cute examples, I thought, that I'd want to share with your listeners.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it a cute example.
I'm being facetious. Yes. There's one thing I wanted to mention, though, before it's glossed over, and you were talking about the growth of remote viewing over the last 30 years. Well, particularly in the last 15 years, please keep in mind that the role that Coast to Coast has played in the growth of remote viewing.
A huge.
Absolutely. Now, I had a choice a long time ago to go back under and do only quasi-classified work and quietly. And then the public would really not know about remote viewing, and they certainly would not have been trained in it. But I decided against that. And Coast to Coast made it happen.
Well, you know, I remember the days I would hear you and Art Bell talking about the various aspects of remote viewing. And, you know, and I was simply riveted about the things that were going on. I mean, I would sit back going, all right, when's he going to be right? When's he going to be wrong? And you know what's ironic? Most people want you to be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I don't know why, but they just want to be able to say he's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, who wants
would,
to know
I
that the kills?
Too. If I were a listener and I was listening to somebody preach this kind of doom, I would wish that I was wrong too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we've got the kill shot sitting out there, and you think it's in this 5-year window now, don't you?
Yeah, you know you're not going to pin me down now. What's coming, one of the things that I don't talk about a lot that is coming before the kill shot is massive crop failure. There's going to be massive crop failure for two reasons. The primary reason is because the Earth's weather is changing so radically, so rapidly. And but as I said on the first Coast to Coast show 15 years ago, almost 15 years ago, the vicissitudes of weather will preclude growing crops in traditional ways, period. We're going to have to put them in environmentally sealed places, either in space, underground, or above ground, and which will become habitats for humans as weather changes change so much that we can't outrun the seasons and anymore. We have to protect ourselves, but first we have to protect our crops. That's one thing. There's a few other reasons that we could go into about why crops will fail, but that's going to be a big one. After that, down the road is this thing called the kill shot, and there, I'm guessing around 2011 to 2013 is my guess, where the sun is going to put out a series of very serious flares and superheat the atmosphere in some places, and that the major problem then will be water, fresh water. There won't be any. Very, very little, few places, fresh water. I advise my students to start thinking about moving to places where there's an abundance of fresh water now, because if there's an abundance of fresh water, there'll be some left to drink and for irrigation purposes. But that's down the road.
How does this equate with 2012, Ed? How does this relate with
it's similar for remote viewers. 2012 is similar to the 2000, what did they call that? Where the computers were supposed to...
It was Y2K.
Yeah, Y2K. I had said on... You know, we took a look ahead at... We can't target a date, a calendrical date. There's nothing we can get our teeth into as remote viewers, but we can look ahead at situations in terms of technology as remote viewers. And when I did that, prior to Y2K, I told Coast to Coast listeners, we see nothing. We see no effect whatsoever. Okay, now, in terms of 2012, again, we can't target a date. So all I can do is just start looking ahead and sequentially say, this is what happens next, and then after that comes this. And that. We have to bracket things in terms of a window. We can look at the nearest preceding event, but then we have to wait for that event to happen before we can say, okay, now we're close to this next event. So it's not a doable thing. In terms of remote viewing.
Let's go back, talk about the kill shot for a moment to a lot of brand new listeners who probably have no idea what we're talking about.
And these kinds of things are sort of an extension of one of the jobs I had that was an important one at the Office of Secretary of Defense. It was as an INW officer and a targeting officer too, indications and warning, attempting to prevent technological surprise on future battlefields by looking at the situation now. Well, remote viewing is a tremendous combat multiplier because it can act as an over-the-horizon radar and it's direct knowledge to boot. So you can look forward in time at various target areas. When I say target areas, I mean things like technology, aviation, space, war, those kinds of things that we can look at as topics as well as individual discrete targets. And we can see if there's any changes, okay? And that's how we detected this particular very, very, very frightening thing and attempted. And it took a while to actually be able to understand what was happening in Earth's atmosphere before we were able to put together this scenario about the sun putting out these very, very serious flares where the plasma comes right down to the deck, meaning Earth's upper atmosphere, and heats it. And it was just looking ahead, and then we're faced with a real monkey on our back saying, well, do we tell this to people?
Yeah.
What did we or not?
And, so, and I would guess governments would say, we can't tell them.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Unfortunately, governments are very quiet about many, many things, as you might know. And yes, they lie. And that's a lie by omission in some cases. It's not a pure lie, but it's still a very, very serious thing. Many governments know what's coming down in terms of pandemics, for instance, and they have hinted. Solar physicists and geophysicists have begun to hint now that in 2012, the sun might really, really be very, very active and shut down power grids.
And that could happen.
Yes, it's happened before, and it will happen again, but will it happen in 2012? They're pretty frightened about that. And, of course, in terms of infrastructures, lots of those will go down very, very quickly. I'm not talking just about single event latch-ups in communication satellites where the satellites with their redundant systems can repair. I'm talking about these satellites being taken out by that those levels of radiation, not to mention anybody that's in a space station. The shielding's not thick enough in the space station to protect from something like that.
When you were talking about the kill shot the many years ago, if I recall, you talked about the shuttle being involved in some way. Tell me about that.
We feel that one of the harbingers of one of the final harbingers, one of these events that will happen, that one of the last things we'll see prior to the first big solar flare. Now, I'm talking solar flare, the type that I predicted 2 weeks prior to it happening. If you remember, I think it was 2004. I 2 weeks prior to the largest solar flare in recorded history.
It was like an X flare, a huge X flare.
X31, right? Or something. Thank goodness it was on the back of the sun, because if it would have been aimed our way,
we were toast.
Yeah. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. This was unprecedented. They had to create an additional scale. It called a mega flare, not just X flares. They had to call it a mega flare because of something like this. But that's the kind of thing I'm saying that's coming our way. And that the first thing that will happen is down go satellite systems.
Yeah, there's no redundancy anymore. You know, in the old days.
There is not for that. There is redundancy, but it's at levels of government communication that we can't talk about. I mentioned in my book, there's a chapter in my book, and I mentioned at one point, this is a true story, I caught eye in a very good doctor in the intelligence community. We helped convince Congress to fund the Biological Threat Analysis Center. We caught the Russians violating the Biological Warfare Treaty, and they did it in just an incredibly ingenious way. And President Bush at the time sat down with them, with our information that I provided to them. And he said, why? Why did you do this? And what they said was very interesting indeed. They said, because, and this has never been said before to the public, to the American public anywhere, so this is the first time, they said, there's not enough steel to create enough bullets to stop the Chinese if they attack across our front. So we have to develop weapons and keep weapons of mass destruction in case that happens.
Well, that may be true, sadly.
So what I'm saying is that if all the systems go down and everything that we have is fly-by-wire, fix bayonets. And those with the most bayonets win.
It's like the old days.
That's right.
You know, I was watching an old-time movie of the Civil War, and it was basically whoever had the most troops and the most ammo won the battle. Yeah. I mean, they would come, they would shoot. They would come, the others would shoot. And it was whoever was left won. That was it.
Well, that's exactly what I'm trying to think of the general's name. Essentially, the firstest with the mostest is the bestest. That's what he said.
Well, it's probably true. And I guess, Ed, since the beginning of time, it's been that way with war, hasn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Go ahead.
Yeah, all military officers have to study all those things, you know, from the beginning up front too. But in terms of the kill shot and all those, my focus now, and because of the terror, the war, so-called war on terror, and other things, my focus now and my team's focus is on locating things. Is on locating. You know that I have a personal agenda with missing children. So I don't talk about this on the air because I can't. But that's one of the things that is very, very important to me, and that's what I'll use it for. All these predictions I put on, I spent $25,000 of my own money to print out all these DVDs, Viewing the Future DVDs that I gave away. And this is the last time. We're almost out of them, and I'm not going to do that again. So my marketing folks put up a free remote viewing DVD.com site, and the rest of them are, I think some of you folks need this to look. All those predictions are there, and you can judge for yourself about the ones that made it, which are a lot, the ones that didn't, and then make a decision about what you want to do with those other so-called predictions that I and my team have put out on the street. So think about that.
Well, at least you don't stick your head in the sand, Ed, and said, I didn't say it, or you know, I mean, when you're wrong, you at least say you're wrong.
Well, that's the truth, though. That's what truth is all about. That's exactly what, you know, like what you said last night. It becomes very difficult dealing with untruths.
Well, let's get back for just a second about your remote viewing of the so-called birthplace of President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
So it sits out there. Ed Dame says, this is where I believe he was born. Do you expect anybody in the media to pick up on it and run with it?
They will, but folks have already suspected that already. So it's just one other person saying it. But in this case, this is my commander-in-chief I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I mean, I'm a regular Army officer. The retired doesn't mean anything. I can be called as one of the leading Chinese speakers in the U.S. Army. And I can be recalled any time, especially if there's war with China. So he once again would become my commander-in-chief and probably not very happy about this.
Any more speaking engagements coming up for you?
I have a workshop in Las Vegas in a couple of weeks. And that's described. I think folks can go to learnrb.com and look at that. And then I'll be in the field quite a bit this year on tactical and strategic things. But I will keep you posted on developments.
Okay. Did you have fun coaching Ben Kingsley, a great actor?
Had great fun. In fact, at one point, I think I mentioned to you before that he was frightened. He was thinking of not. Tom Cruise wanted to play that role, but Tom was finishing up The Last Samurai in New Zealand at the time. So Sir Ben was frightened because he's such a good character. He's such a good actor that he thought, if I'm going to play somebody who's out of their mind, whose mind is somewhere else, you know, I'll be doubly removed from my own mind. So I said, no, that's not the way it is, you know, and I had to show him and coach him and teach him about this, so order him to go take a nap, come back, and I think I told you that famous foot and mouth disease moment that I had when I said, when I asked him if he had seen the movie AI. But a wonderful man. When I was, you know, that I played an FBI instructor, I had a cameo as that, and he would come up and check on me, make sure I'm okay. Wonderful man.
Let's talk about what you see in the future. We won't put a date on it, Ed, when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. So what more does Ed Dame see in the future? We'll get that when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And next hour, we'll take your phone calls with the Major on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, Ed, I'm not going to hit you up on dates, but beyond the other items that we've talked about that you are standing pat with, the earthquake and the war with Iran and some of the other issues, you see anything else up there in the future for us?
It's pretty gloomy.
With you, who would expect anything less?
Well, remember how we won the Cold War. We didn't defeat the USSR militarily. In fact, we couldn't do it. Just their SS-18 missile alone was a juggernaut. The Satan, NATO code-word Satan, that alone was undefeatable. So we would never have defeated them militarily. They went broke. That's how we won.
That's right.
They went broke.
Reagan brilliantly got them broke, but maybe we didn't want them to collapse the way they did we?
No, yeah, Gorbachev did a good job transitioning them into poverty, and now they're coming out of that to some degree, but China's just waiting for us to do the same thing. And China, will, as I said before, will eclipse the United States as the superpower within the next 25, 30 years. And they're just waiting for us to go broke.
Well, we are going broke.
And we're yeah,
going
and broke we will.
Quickly.
We will quickly. One of the things that you may see in certain areas of our own country because of, as a consequence of that, is martial law. Not throughout the whole country, but in certain areas, you may indeed see that.
I think you're right about that.
And that's a very sad thing.
A lot of what you do is also smart perception, isn't it? Even though you remote view.
You're on current events.
I mean, you're as sharp as anybody I know, Ed. I just think you're very perceptive of future events as well. You know, like Gerald Celente, for example, or Catherine Austin Fitz will come on and talk about economic trends. I don't think they're remote viewers, but they understand that if we continue doing what we're doing, we're going to be in a mess, and they've been right. So I think you use some of that.
Well, we don't. Remote viewers don't have any monopoly on the truth. That's for sure. Remote viewing, the reason I like it, it's direct knowledge. So if I have a question about something, my lower rational mind is so often wrong. Most of our humans know our lower minds are wrong many times. So I depend upon our higher mind, this direct knowledge to see true. I would like to teach this to many children. For that reason as well, but I try to stick to what I know as a remote viewer rather than what I think as an intelligence analyst, so to speak. There's some things I don't talk about on your show. There's a couple of areas that I don't talk about because I will lose my audience. It's difficult enough I'm quite comfortable with scientists and with military officers mm-hmm. and with the public at large, but you can lose the audience if remember, remote viewing has access to not just everything in this dimension, but things in other dimensions as well, right? So what would you be interested in if you could know anything, and life is short, where would your priorities be? I'm asking you now, George, what would you be looking at as a skilled remote viewer? You mean if
you know I do practice remote viewing. I'm not nearly as sharp as you are, Ed.
What would be your burning question? I have a couple.
You know what? I see an asteroid coming this way. I don't know when, like you now, without dates, but I see something like that. I see that kind of catastrophe.
Well, I'm not just talking about sticking antenna out there and looking ahead now. I'm talking about what is George interested in? Don't die not knowing. What do you want to know before you kick it?
I'd like to know if JFK was killed with this grand conspiracy. I'd like to know answers like that.
All right. Well, remote viewers have looked at that before too. So you know, I think we've discussed that before. In fact, I gave all that information to Jim Mars, and he put it in a book. We know that it was a conspiracy, and I was very upset when I remote viewed that because I saw that he was shot with a flechette through the throat as well as with a high caliber weapon, and the flechette was fired from inside the car. So I and Mel Riley, one of the military remote viewers, saw that. I'm particularly interested in contact.
Yeah, me too.
You're
a believer in contact.
I am indeed, because we've had proprietary sponsorship before at very high levels. My team and I have been out in the desert on close encounters of the second kind. I said, I want more, much more than that. And so for the last 20 years, we've been working on those kinds of things. Is contact doable at higher levels? And that's what I don't talk about on the air. But that doesn't necessarily lose people, because that's what Coast to Coast is all about, talking about those kinds of things. But if you do want to lose them, you say something like this. For all of you trained remote viewers out there, people that I've trained and who are good, take a look at use this cue, the Antichrist, present location. Now, that's an interesting search term. Because remember, all remote viewers who use the same search term will come up with the same information. That's where we meet one half of the Western scientific method, the replicability part. We don't have a theory yet, but we leave that to the academicians. We have a model, obviously, or we wouldn't be able to teach it. But that's a very interesting search term if you do that, because everybody will home in, who's trained, and describe the same place and the same person.
Hmm. And are you doing that now?
Oh, I've finished it. I was just curious, too. I mean, it's a school of thought that goes something like this. All through the ages, there's a lineage of Antichrist with a small a, a lowercase a, who may or may not know who they are. They usually don't. And that lineage carries through until the last one with the big capital A, who does know who he is. And so at any given time, we can go into the collective mind and search anything that we want, and down and out will spit out something. If the search term is nonsense, we get nonsense back out, as you know. But
so
if it's not, if it has some meat, then we get real physical material location data out.
Are you saying the Antichrist is here now or is going to be here in the future?
I'm saying that at least one of the lineage folks is definitely here now, and it's a recognizable, it's somebody that's well known, and any remote viewer with just intermediate skills after about several days of work will probably be able to figure out who that is. That's the response of Universal Mind to that particular, that's what you get when you plug that into our search engine called remote viewing, and that's what falls back out, that information.
Are you going to disclose who he is?
No,
or she?
I can't do that for libel and legal reasons. I cannot do it, but I will say that it is a very prominent person that all of us would recognize.
Male, female?
Male.
Politician or otherwise?
Politician.
All right. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to keep your eyes on this?
No, there's nothing I can do about it. There's no way I can affect it. I was just curious. That's
when might you disclose it? Or would you ever?
I don't think I would, because of the safety of my family. I don't think I would do that.
I've never heard you hold back before, Ed.
Yeah, but I have to think about my family first.
Well, that has changed your life a bit, hasn't it?
It has, yes.
Take me through a remote viewing course. Somebody comes in, what happens?
Well, the Learn RV DVDs, learnrv.com DVDs, those DVDs teach a person to learn how to remote view alone, by themselves. And that's the desired state. We want you to use this alone so there's no biases or any other overlay. It would be difficult for me. I think the best way to do it is just to watch the demos, the demonstrations, the classroom demonstrations at learnrv.com and see that, George, because we'd get all wrapped around the axle otherwise.
I would be glad to teach
you personally. That's a standing offer to you.
I know it has been. I mean, people should know that for 7 years and running, you have you're going to get me eventually.
Now, Art didn't want to know. Art just did not want to. He didn't want to touch it. Art was very, very interesting in that way. Art Bell. He did not want to learn.
Why not? Was he afraid of it?
I think he was a little apprehensive about it for some reason. But everybody is different personalities.
I'm just wondering that if I got the good enough at it, if I would freely come on this program and just spout the things that I think I knew.
Well, as a teacher, warn against doing that.
But how many radio guys do you get in a course?
Oh my goodness! I have taught all kinds of celebrities, George. Many, many people, from the Catwoman herself, the original Catwoman, to Academy Oscar winners, and many personalities, many names I won't mention, of course, on the air, but.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be my responsibility if I really felt an asteroid was coming and I remote viewed it and I felt I knew it was happening to tell everybody?
My team and I know that an asteroid is coming, but we don't, and a very big one, to be honest with you. And it looks like it may hit the United States in the center of the country, but we don't know how far out that is. We have no idea, but everybody's seen it. Everybody talks about it, but we just don't know where in time it is, George. It's very big, though.
It's something I see, too. So you and I are on the same wavelength.
But again, other people in dreams, that's the only gateway. That's the only other venue that we have as humans to the unconscious mind is in moments of revelation, dreams, or remote viewing, in training ourselves to use unconscious as a tool. But if we're coming up on that event, it's going to pop in and intrude itself in lots of people's dreams. Chet Snow's book, I remember, Mass Dreams of the Future, it talks about this kind of thing where people aren't going to know. And some folks who are really in tune with themselves are going to say, let's get out of town. Well, what do you mean, honey? Well, I'm taking the kids and going. You can come with us or not. But I don't know why I'm moving, but we got to move. That kind of thing.
See, I have seen in this remote viewing it happening in the morning in North America time. And we wake up and it has hit a city. I don't know exactly where. I can't see that. But it's all over the news. It's the story of the century. And I don't know the damage, Ed. All I know is that it's hit, and it's a major story. And I see on television this crater and, a reporter with his picture in front of it, even though the crater is like miles away. And he's pointing, and it's an unbelievable story. But I see that.
Well, if it's that big, George, I think you don't have to be a physicist to know what kind of shockwave that would produce.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, if the crater is that big, you don't want to be in North America.
But you're not running. I mean, you do go to the Ukraine often.
I take a lot of chances, and I that's okay. You know.
And you go there, by the way, just so people know, you fell in love.
Correct.
You're not going there to escape.
No, I fell in love with a beautiful girl, and it isn't an escape. In fact, life is pretty grim there, but I was lonely. I lived in paradise. I'm a free diver. I lived in Maui. Every day under the water, you know, beautiful down 90 feet for 3 minutes with all that beauty. And, but I was lonely.
How do they treat you there as an American?
Well, I've learned how to blend in. I've cut my hair short and I wear black and I know how to walk and to a certain degree talk enough Russian to.
So you look Eastern European.
Yeah. So I blend in. Otherwise it can be a hassle.
Yeah. They don't like us.
No, they like us, but in that neck of the woods, you become a novelty, and the novelty can attract attention, and some of that attention you don't want to attract.
All right. And no plans to bring her here?
No, we're going to live there. Okay. It's going to get really gloomy here, the point where the gloom is going to be more oppressive than the grimness there.
Dr. Doom says it will get gloomy.
Yeah.
All right. Now, without pushing you for the name of the Antichrist, because you're not going to give it to me anyway, is this apocalypse underway now? Has it started yet?
I don't know. I don't know if this is the last in the lineage. I honestly don't. Or if it's just one in the lineage. Sometimes I'm afraid to look. I do get scared once in a while. So, you know, Dr. Doom gets scared. There's some things I don't want to see.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Tell me more about your work with the agencies, police agencies.
Well, my work with police agencies is just two things. It's missing endangered children and their murder abductors, because all the kids I go after are almost without exception dead, with a couple of exceptions. And, of course, I can't talk about those because you endanger the child. Because we have to pull surveillance because the child is kept inside, usually a girl for sexual reasons, sexual exploitation. A young girl is kept inside a structure. So you have to pull long-term surveillance on that structure in order to spot the child. And if the perpetrators and the abductors know that you're doing that, you endanger the child's life too. So those are very, very sensitive operations. Most of the time, and as you'll see soon, it's recovering a child's body and then using these techniques, these location techniques. My team will describe the abductor murderer's house, workplace, vehicle, and then I will use my location tools to locate it, and then we'll match that up and tell the authorities who's on first.
I have seen, you've sent me copies of emails and information you've sent to police agencies, sometimes unsolicited by them, directly to them, to try to help them out. How have they responded to
you? Oh, wonderfully. I think many of your listeners may have seen me, or at least in the Detroit area, may have seen me on television going down an old drainage tube a few months ago in Detroit looking for Tanjina Hussein. Turns out that I missed her by about 2,000 yards. She's 2,000 yards away, and I'm not going to say any more than that. So I got to go back. That's unfinished business, so I need to go back and take care of that case next month.
Well, that's an
and the police chief, they did everything I asked for. I had the dogs, the search dogs, the entire police force. Everybody was there, you know, news, TV news, and everything.
So they know who you are when you get a hold of them.
Yes, FBI particularly knows who I am. I have a great respect and regard for the bureau. Ever since the Unabomber work, our support with them on the Unabomber, I can serve my country far better on the outside than on the inside.
How many of these sick abductors are out there, Ed?
It's an epidemic.
It is. It's everywhere, isn't it?
Yes. Epidemic.
They can't pick them up fast enough, these people.
Well, you've got to get evidence. Even if you come up with a child's body, for instance, if there's no evidence there, a remote viewer, we know of at least one individual. His name is Hill, Dale Hill. And I better be careful about this, but we know that this person murdered a child. We know this, but we don't have evidence, and that's so they walk just like.
And let's qualify this: that the many Dale Hills that are out there, we're not talking about you.
Right.
There are many out there, indeed, indeed. Well, I know that's a very important facet of what you do, but it's something I think that has become your mission, hasn't it?
I want my dream. Contact is my favorite dream, and we're working on that. That I think 2010 is the year that we make contact. That I truly believe that. And when I have more information, I'll fill you in. But my dream, one of my huge dreams has been to become the nightmare of child abductors.
Good for you.
And that has finally come true with these precision tools.
Good for you. You want to stick around for phone calls, Ed?
I will indeed.
All right, Major Ed Dames, one more hour to go, and we'll open up the phone lines next on Coast to Coast AM.